Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Hump Night! No, no, stop it, people! It's Wednesday, Hump Day! But it's not daytime, get it? Alright, let's try this again. Happy Hump Night! NYC Today Live with Janelle and the Hump Day Recovery Squad. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Live in New York, but broadcasting everywhere. NYC Today Live Talk Radio. Hot topics, family and relationships, business tips and successful habits, beauty tips and product reviews, sports, movie reviews, stupid prank calls, interviews with interesting people and everyday heroes. Music from amazing artists that you may not have heard on the radio until now. And so much more.
Isn't that everything?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We'll even ask somebody on a date for you.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, we just do what we want and talk about anything we feel like, whenever we feel like it.
We really have no focus.
Now for your host. It's your girl, Janelle, and her surprise and random co-host.
Hello, 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 and happy Hump Night. How is everyone doing on this beautiful, beautiful Hump Day Wednesday night? We are in the house, and today we will be talking about Beyonce's new video and her performance at the Super Bowl versus Madonna's Like a Prayer music video. So we'll be talking about that, doing a little review on it for the entire show, because quite a topic. But before we do that, let's welcome our guest and our wonderful co-host. We've got Sandman, Kim, Say Young. How's everyone tonight?
Hello,
we're good.
How are you guys? How was your hump day today?
Like it.
It was all right.
How about you, Say Young?
Hi, everyone. It's my inaugural show. my day was fine. A lot of work, so I'm tired, but feeling very energized.
Me too, me too. And, man, and is that Kim? Oh, I think that's our other co-host, Valerie.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, we've got two wonderful new co-hosts today, Say Young and Valerie, and we're welcoming them to the show, Sandman. So we are excited about them today, yes?
Very.
Yay!
All right, but you know what else we're excited about? We've got two people that are celebrating their birthday today. We've got Tamara McDonald and Mahogany Marie. We want to say happy birthday to you and have a great year ahead of yourself. Woo! Happy birthday!
Show yourself! Where are you?
Hip, 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 hooray! Hip, hip, come on! Hip, let's go!
Now your birthday! Happy birthday!
They want.
and Tamara. Happy birthday. Woo! Yay! Happy birthday. Enjoy your birthday. Woo! Well, Sandman, we are the only veterans here on time today. And I promised the new ladies that they didn't have to talk, but I think I broke after break a little bit today. We've got our hot topic coming up today with Beyonce's Formation versus Madonna's Like a Prayer review. And that's coming up after that. This song, we've got one more song before we get into the hot topic. And we are going to play for you today, Ida Divine, Astral Projection. Divine with Astral Projection, and we've got now our hot topic with the Beyonce formation video. Now, for those of you who don't watch the news or really pay attention to social media like I do, or as much as others, then you might not know that there's a big deal going around the internet about, you know, Beyonce, and in particular, not just her video, but her performance at the Super Bowl. Sam, man, what do you, I mean, what was your take on it? Did you get a chance to see the videos? Do you think it was a big deal? What do you think?
I saw it. Of course, I saw it live, and, you know, I watched it two or three times since then, since, you know, the controversy, because I was looking for it, and I didn't see anything wrong with it at all. It's just, it's paying homage to our leaders, and it's also bringing awareness. I mean, because it just wasn't an homage to Black Panthers and Malcolm X. It was just people who were, I guess for lack of better words, just always getting a hard time, you know, young Black people, especially young Black men, and the LGBT community as well. So it was more of a message involved in the whole thing rather than controversy. But, you know, people are gonna make it out to be a controversial thing when in reality it's not. You know, there was a lady, Tommy, I can't remember her last name, but she had Charlamagne Tha God on from the Breakfast Club, and she's 23, white, and she looks like she could come from the suburbs, so, you know, she doesn't really know the quote-unquote struggle. And she had the audacity to say that the performance was disrespectful. And
was
that,
this on The Blaze? I'm sorry, could I interrupt? Was this show on The Blaze that you're referring to?
It was a clip that I...
Okay.
That I saw earlier. Yeah, I could find out for you whenever I get a second. But she said that the Panther Party and Malcolm X were terrorists. They were anti-white. Mm-hmm. It was basically, she was saying, they were an anti-white militia group who targeted police officers, when in reality they weren't. They were people who actually police the police. And, you know, when they see that the police officers are harassing people and doing them wrong, they would intervene. And they weren't violent unless it was necessary. They didn't carry guns unless it was necessary. They didn't act out violently unless violence was brought to them. And it was, you know, to me, it was no different than how the mob was, the Italian mob was back in the day, because when Italians first came to this country, they were not accepted at all. They were treated harshly. They were looked at as like dirt, you know, like they were peasants, and they were treated poorly. So, you know, they had their own little communities, you know, like little Italy like they have now, but they would have a group of people that would protect them and would do things for them when other people wouldn't. So when the Panther Party came about, they were basically doing the same thing, but they were looked at as radicals, as savages, as bad people, mostly because they were Black. You know, they came up with a free lunch program. They made sure the children ate. They had, you know, daycare put together for, you know, mothers who, you know, who needed daycare for the children, or even at night, you know, night care for the children, because not everybody could work in the daytime. So they did a lot to protect, you know, the Black communities, and up until they were shut down by the FBI. But they were anything but terrorists. You know, and to me, we need that even more so today, because we don't have anybody. We don't have anybody protecting us. We don't have anybody speaking for us. We don't have the black leaders that we had back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We just don't have that now. We got a handful of people, and, you know, that's about it. You know, and it, when people speak up for themselves, all of a sudden now you're anti-white. No, we're not anti-white. We're just pro-black.
Mm-hmm. And is there, we got, look, let me say, now I do know that the Black Panthers are, you know, for the things that they've done, they did some killings or whatever, and some of the killings that they did, all of the killings that they did were retaliation, you know, it was like payback or whatever, and those
right.
people that they, you know, opened fire on had already assaulted, you know, a child or whatever, what have you,
right.
someone in the community that was possibly innocent, or either they were over, you know, they were exercising police brutality. So I get that, but the thing about it is, I get, you know, how it can be an uncomfortable thing to watch if you're white or whatever, and you're in the Black Panther Party, the only thing you've kind of seen is like this negative image or whatever, then I can see how
right.
that could be a little uncomfortable. It's like you're being reminded during a game which you're trying to, you know, enjoy or not really think about anything serious, and then here come Beyonce on a platform with people with afros or whatever. Now, not everybody, most people didn't feel anything, you know, from watching this on the Super Bowl. But, you know, a handful
right.
of people, only takes a handful of people to feel anything. Because I personally, just because they had on all black and afros, I wear all black a lot mm-hmm. of times, and sometimes I have my afro out, and I'm not necessarily representing Black Panther Party. But I know that they probably knew that because of the relationship to the video, you know, to the video. So, ladies, what do you, I mean, you don't have to, I promise you don't have to.
No, I'm chomping at the bit to say some stuff.
Go ahead.
Yes, so this is Sae Young, and yeah, I mean, I definitely want to contribute here too. I also agree with the others that when you actually were seeing it live during the Super Bowl, I don't think that people got the political message. I actually had not seen her video beforehand, so I didn't even know, I didn't have the context, you know, and when I saw her and her outfit and her dance, I actually thought that she was just matching Bruno Mars, who came out before, because he had like the black leather and et cetera. So it didn't really occur to me until there were pictures after her performance, actually, that, you know, showed, you know, Instagram clips of Black Lives Matter and her entourage and people in her group, like, making a kind of a commentary about what the performance is about. And then afterward, you know, if you knew what her video was about, then it made sense. But I think the performance itself, unless you knew beforehand or you saw her video beforehand, is not, you know, it doesn't give like any kind of blatant or overt message of what it's supposed to be. And, you know, the kind of, you know, there's this argument people were saying, like, you know, why do you make a political statement during these sports events, which is kind of like what you were alluding to, Janelle, before, right? Like, people were saying, well, this is making us uncomfortable, and this is like a sports family event, and why is she making this political statement? But I'm like, well, she has this platform, so if you are going to have this huge, gigantic platform, like, why not make it there, right? And I don't feel that that is inappropriate at all. No one has any responsibility to prevent someone from feeling uncomfortable, right? Like there's really no, you know, yeah, responsibility that people have to, based on what they say and the position that they take, to prevent someone from feeling upset. I mean, that's just not, you know, anyone's responsibility. And I've, you know, been hearing a lot about the media, you know, a lot of the media take on this from alternate media too. And, you know, people were saying how in the 1968 Olympics, when, you know, Tommy Smith and John Carlos actually won and they did the raised fist with the glove, I mean, that really made an impact because it was such a worldwide audience at the time and everyone still remembers it. So in a way, it's like you can use these big platforms to like state your position. So in that sense, I don't think she did anything wrong. And people, you know, saying how she shouldn't use this form for it, you know, I don't think their argument is very legitimate at all. So,
yeah, I mean, I think I was talking to you, Val, earlier, yesterday, I think, and one of the things Val, you were saying that, you know, everyone has a right to freedom of speech, and you're exactly right. This is what this country is about, and, you know, but the thing is that even with that freedom of speech, you know, we do have a responsibility to, you know, make sure that as an artist or as media, that we are responsible for what happens after. Now, in my opinion, obviously, I don't see anything wrong with what she did in any, mm-hmm, you know, shape or form, not even on the offensive level. There are a lot of things that happen in this country and around the world, and we're all of, you know, different races, and we all have had several different struggles. And I think that our country being a melting pot, it's our right from any culture that we're from to express, you know, hardship that our culture experiences. And like, you know, Sam, you were alluding to, or you were talking about how the mafia started. You know, they didn't start out as, you know, a gang with drugs and stuff like that. That's not the reason why they started. They started to build a safety net for their community, which is why gangs and originally usually have started anyway, to build a family structure among the community. Then, you know, people would get out of line and within inside those organizations, and then they turned into criminal organizations from there. So the Black Panther Party, however, they have done things, you know, fought fire with fire. They did a lot of good, and the use of their image, it wasn't an image that you can really say, oh, this is offensive. These are some form of terrorists. Do you have anything to say on that, Valerie?
I feel like her performance was fine. I don't think that everyone should be getting so upset about it, for those who did get upset about it, because the same way that if Taylor Swift would have came out and performed with a whole bunch of men in white hoodies, it would be the same thing. So if she would do something like that, people say that she's representing, you know, something else. So
yeah,
it's a thing where I feel that people just need to be more accepting of each other because of the fact that we're so diverse. And like you said, we are a melting pot here. So I think if people would be more accepting, there wouldn't be so much criticism.
Yeah, I think that is probably like the best statement ever, because that is the problem with this country. No one wants to accept this is who I am. You know, no one wants to accept that about themselves. and then no one wants to accept that about the other. And a lot of people find reasons to find themselves in anger because they're not really, it's a reflection, you know, or, you know, it's like if I say something, I could say it in one context, but if you feel a certain way about a subject, or if you're already sensitive on that subject, it's going to make you uncomfortable. It's kind of like if I start talking about racism and it makes you uncomfortable, you know, on either foot, no matter what color you are, black or white, it doesn't matter. If you start feeling uncomfortable, maybe you might be a racist that is in denial about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like if something offends you that and no one says your name, then maybe you've got an issue going on the inside. And that's what I would say, you know, if you found that uncomfortable, you might want to, you know, check yourself. As far as her video goes, I was looking and I was like, huh, this is really, she really did good with this video. It's got a lot of imagery, a lot of stuff she, you know, like, it, you know, showing, but nothing about the music video was against police officers. And the other thing, I really, really want us to, like, I want everyone to comment on this. Police officers are no longer only white. They are black, and they are Spanish, Puerto Rican, Chinese. They're all racist, you know? And they're all, you know, when police brutality comes up, we're not talking about white police officers. We're talking about police officers. I've seen black cops commit abusive behavior in the streets. When I walk down the street, to be very honest, and I see cops, I don't care what color they are, and I see them pulling someone over, I stop and I set my phone on camera. I do. I don't care what color they are because I don't trust them with citizens. It's just a fact for me. So I stop. I don't care who they're pulling over. I stop. I set my phone on camera, and I wait just a minute. And I stand there until I feel that that person is safe, and then I keep walking. So right. What do you guys think about that as it relates to you?
Well, I think you're really right to say that. I think your point is a really good one because there's been many cases, whether it's Occupy Wall Street or some other kind of demonstration. I remember I grew up in New York City, actually, all my life. And when I was a high school student, and back when the East Village was not as gentrified as it is now, I remember that the police, there was a demonstration of a lot of, like, artist types, like, in the East Village. And I'm not quite sure what they were demonstrating about at that point. It might actually have been something like they were protesting homelessness or they were, you know, trying to get something going about the drugs in the area or whatever it was. It was kind of a large gathering of artist types in the East Village, and again, of all varieties. And the protests, I guess, got out of hand, or the cops who were there couldn't really handle it or manage it properly. And what ended up happening was a total beatdown from the police officers to everyone who was in attendance, and it was anybody of any skin color. And an image that really pops out for me that I remember even as a high school student was the picture of this, like, white gentleman who kind of looked like he was like an artist type, and he had blood pouring down his skull because the police officers had beaten him with his stick. So I really do believe that it's probably, for some of them, it's the position that they're given, you know, the kind of authority, but also maybe not an emotional stability where they're able to, you know, stop themselves from going overboard or stop themselves from actually, like, going over the line of assault and not just restrain, you know. And I think that whatever their color, yes, it's true that that can totally be an issue.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, Salmon, what do you think? I don't know.
I don't trust them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I've had several run-ins, and I'm blessed to still be alive. But given today's climate, like I've been involved in stoppages. I've been involved with, and when I say stoppage, I don't mean like I was speeding or, you know, I ran a red light. No, it was just a random stop because either me or my car fit the description of something or somebody they were looking for. And I would be detained for X amount of minutes while they run my information. And, of course, it comes back clean, and then I'm able to go, but I'm inconvenienced, right? So there's been many a nights where I would be on my way home. And I live in a relatively nice neighborhood, but I would be coming back from shooting pool or just hanging out with the guys or coming from a cigar lounge, and, you know, I would get a nice police escort all the way back to my house. And, you know, I've got friends who are police officers, and I've had, you know, I've a couple in the family and things like that, but, you know, none of that matters during that time, you know. And at this point, you know, you get stopped, and the things that go through your mind, especially being a black man, is like, is this going to be the last time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't think that way. You're not, at least you're not supposed to, in theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
mm-hmm.
grew up as a child. And I remember in elementary school, we had a guy that came to the school to talk to us about safety. His name, I don't know his real name, but he was Officer Friendly. That was his name. It was the same guy every year. And he would come and he would talk to us and talk about, you know, drugs and crime and blah, 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 and all these other things. But, you know, so you grow up, you know, saying, well, oh, you know, if you see a police officer, you're safe. You know, you can talk to them, you can do whatever, you know, because they're here to protect you and to make sure that everything is okay. So you grow up, you didn't grow up with that stigma, but as time goes on and you get older, it's kind of like, you know, the whole Santa Claus, Easter Bunny type thing. It's like, oh, no, they're not. I mean, they're there to do their jobs, you know, but you have a lot of them that aren't. And they have several types of officers. You have officers who signed up to join the force because they want to actually be a part of something good in the communities where they can serve and help the people, and those are the people who I'm happy to give my tax dollars to. Then you have some who, you know, they're maybe third or fourth generation police officers, and you got a mixed bag with those people because maybe they're good, maybe they're not. And then you have, to me, you know, the kids who were bullied in school.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And those, more often than not, are the ones that take it too far. You know, because now I've got this badge in my, and I got the badge and the gun, so now you got to listen to me. You know, I'm the one on top.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, those are the ones that, you know, make it scary for people, period, and dominantly, I would say black men. I dominantly, you know, see, I mean, it's more of them dying. Boys that look
mm-hmm.
like men.
Right.
You know? Anybody can jump in at any time. Y'all, we can talk over each other. We're not silent. But I have to relook at the video again. But I think that she had where the little boy is in the black hoodie and he's dancing, and the police officer is just kind of standing there. I believe that they're all white. I don't think it's such a big deal to, like, really pick her video apart, but it's possible that she could have threw a few other color faces in that lineup. Sandman, I got to talk about this from the video. Forgive me if this is a touchy subject, but Sandman is from New Orleans, and I met you after the hurricane in New Orleans. You actually came on the show during that time, and you were very open with, how you were relocated, I believe, to California and then to Texas where you are now.
Right.
And what did you feel when you saw that part of the video, New Orleans? Can you, like, tell us a little bit about your experiences during the hurricane?
Well, I wasn't there when it actually hit. I was out of town, thank God. Mm. But as far as that in the video, some people took offense to it, but I wasn't one of those people. In the context, it was art. It wasn't like she was poking fun or bringing attention to it to make gains. I mean, this is something that, not to say that, you should forget about it, because you shouldn't. It was a terrible time for everybody and on the whole Gulf Coast, not just New Orleans. And it'll be 11 years this August, but I feel like enough time has passed that you can be a little more artistic when you are looking to bring attention to something like that happened, because it's not just the storm. It was everything that came afterwards. And it was a lot of people don't think about the stuff that happened prior to that, all the things that were on the table to prevent such a catastrophe were overlooked as well. Money that was, that was earmarked for reinforcing the levees and things of the sort. So those things kind of fall by the wayside because people are more concerned with the aftermath, and with good reason. The late response and, everything that still happened, and the fact that my city is now being gentrified on a whole nother level. We watch, my wife and I, we watch HGTV just like a lot of people, and there's this show called House Hunters, and they show people buying homes in New Orleans in particular areas that were rebuilt, but the price for the homes are astronomical. The median income in New Orleans right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $25,000 or $27,000 a year, which is a pittance in reality, given the cost of a lot of homes in certain neighborhoods. They have homes that are going for $300,000, $400,000, and $500,000, but they're small and they're in historical neighborhoods. But the majority of the neighborhoods in the greater New Orleans area are all historical. It's a very old city. So, for that amount of money, for $300,000 where I live right now, $400,000 where I live right now, I could live like a king. So some kind of way the housing market exploded, and it's just ridiculous. But I'm going off topic, but it all comes it all comes together.
Could I ask a question? Do you think that do you think that the high kind of prices that have been kind of pushed in the area, do you think that's also like a hidden agenda not to have the people who may have been there previously, like to kind of push them away, not allow them to come back? Do you think that's kind of indirect consequence they're trying to get. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's definitely it, because you see people who were looking for the homes on the show, they were, you know, people who were starting out and they had a little money with them. And the people, what most people don't understand is that New Orleans is a beautiful city. It's a great city, rich in culture. But what they're missing is that the people are what make the city what it is. Because we are the culture. We embody the culture. So when you have people coming from the outside, from other states to come in, every time there's new people coming in, there's, you know, 10 or 20 families that are being pushed out. So the culture is slowly dying. And there's people who are trying to keep it alive, but unless something changes and they make these homes more obtainable and more affordable, and these areas more affordable for the people who were born and raised there, it's only going to get worse. And the crime has gotten worse because of that, because now the jobs are scarce, and it's just a domino effect. So when you have somebody like Beyonce putting out a video and bringing attention to how things are or how things were in the city and as well as other places, you know, it kind of makes you with people that are in the quote unquote beehive.
Right.
They are going to do research because they follow and they live and they hang on Beyonce's every move and every word. So if, it doesn't matter. You know, people were against rap music in the Christian community, even though they came out with Christian rap. But I say, why push that away? If it's going to bring younger people to God, don't push it away. It's just another vehicle. But it's the same thing. You know, when you take advantage of the Olympics, you have millions of people worldwide watching the Olympics. So you got brothers on the podium with black fists in the air showing the pride in who they are. That's bringing awareness
and bringing attention and bringing attention to an issue that was going on at the time,
right?
Like saying like this is a real thing, like this is like what's going on, and don't just like overlook it. And so that's exactly. And so when you have a Super Bowl where like 100 million Americans are watching or something, then that is a huge audience, and like, you know, use that as a platform. And, you know, to jump off what you're saying, like for the video too, I think it is really cool for Beyonce to have, you know, used that New Orleans footage, because in a way it's almost like, I feel like people had forgotten about it, right? Like it's almost like it's something that it's like so long ago, and like people like have now like forgotten about it. It's in the back burner, and again, everyone thinks that everything's all back to normal now, and everything's hunky dory. And maybe it wasn't, and maybe there's like a whole slew of people that, like you mentioned, got displaced and then never were able to find their way back home. And then that story is never mentioned about that devastation for those people. And so it is kind of cool that she was able to, you know, bring back an event that was quite a while ago. And as you know, you may have mentioned, like people, like younger people who are part of the beehive, which I'm not, but, and I'm not young either, but it's like, if the New Orleans happened, it happened quite a while ago. So they may not they may not have remembered or know what she's referring to. And then if they do kind of, if they are aware of why that clip was in there, then it does serve to like educate them on that, you know, at that, of that time, of that event.
Right. Yeah. Because some of those people were probably just born. They might've been two or three years old.
Right.
You know, when that happened.
That's right.
I was saying, there's something else that we really got to get into, and I want Valerine's take on this. I don't know whether you guys got a chance to look at Madonna's Like a Prayer video, music video. And the reason why I pitted them against each other, because back when this came out, this was a big deal. And
yeah, I remember that.
It was a
I remember
big deal.
That too.
Use the black man for Jesus. And, and
yeah.
You know, and
interracial kiss.
Hair,
mm-hmm.
Red lips,
mm-hmm.
You know?
This was
to me a bigger use of creativity, because I know everybody who went to Beehive or whatever. I love Beyonce, by the way, but I felt like Madonna's display of the way she did this video, and it's
mm-hmm.
called Like a Prayer, you know, God forbid.
Yeah.
You know, she really brought out a lot of points that were happening, and that video is still relevant, very relevant for today. And a lot of people felt a lot of weight. Did you get to see that video, Valerie?
I saw some of the video.
Yeah.
I think that that's what made her so great, that she got people to talk about her so much, and I think that's why she is so, so famous.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, the video had way more things in it than Beyonce's performance. Mm-hmm. But again, I only got to see, like, a little bit in the beginning.
Don't worry. The video, basically, let me give a brief, rough draft, because, daggone it, the show was getting close. So Madonna did a video where she's basically praying, and this guy is like, it's like a Catholic setting, and how they have the statue of Jesus behind this, like, I want to say
church.
Gate.
Yeah.
It's in church, but there's a gate. So she is,
mm-hmm.
I've seen this before in Catholic churches where there's a statue of Jesus and there's some kind of gate, like, protecting him.
Right.
But this gate
yeah.
kind of represented like a prison. And this black mm. man standing behind it was Jesus in like a prison. It was like she was relating the struggle of Christ to the struggles that were going on at the time between black men and cops. And it was just, to me, it was like, you know, Beyonce had a ton of things. She had a lot of things going on. A lot
mm-hmm.
of things were going on, which was great. But this was like a focused story that was flipping in and out of Jesus' crucifixion versus, you know, the struggles of kind of being crucified because you're a black man. And she, mm-hmm. I don't know, she had so many things in that one story that I was just like, and it was to me, like, go ahead, girl, you with your blind self.
A lot of symbolism.
It was so shocking. Not only was it shocking because of that, but it was shocking because she was white doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what do you guys think about that? Should we applaud her?
Well, I'm Catholic, so, I mean, all the stuff that I saw was pretty much spot on, you know, but it was, you know, it was set in the rural South in
mm-hmm.
this quote-unquote black church, mm-hmm. but, you know, the whole thing about it that I loved about it was that, you know, it was more controversial than Justify My Love, which was another controversial video that she put out
mm-hmm.
that was
mm-hmm.
real sexual. But this one mm-hmm. was, it had a message about racism and the KKK and living in the rural South and Jesus being depicted as he is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to him being looking like Caesar Borgia, which is how he is depicted now in a lot of churches
mm-hmm.
where they have pictures of him. So, you know, it was, you know, white America was in a huge uproar, but I loved it. It's one of my favorite videos.
Yeah.
So I want to get Ballerina here because I know I've been hearing you say mm-mm and get, trying to get your voice in there. Ballerina, she'll get it to just jump in. But I want to know from you, what do you think about the whole thing? Like, what advice would you give to a person that is, you know, growing up in this society? You know, there are many different things. You're a Spanish woman that you experience your own versions of racism and things like that. What would you say, growing up in this kind of society, whether you're white, black, whatever, about how you receive other people, how you express yourself? What would be the best advice that you could give? Maybe let's say to Jakey, your little boo boo.
I think just being open and being accepting of other people, but also always feel free to express how you feel, because I feel like I'm the type of person that if I feel a certain way, I'm going to say it whether you like it or not, or whether it offends you or not. And if you can't handle my personality, then maybe you don't need to be around me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like just accepting others' opinions and just allowing them to speak, and maybe just trying to see things from their point of view, even if you don't really agree with what everyone else does, just always try to give everyone the chance, and that'll educate you more and help you to better understand other people's point of view and why they feel certain things. I think that's the advice that I would give them.
I love
great advice. Yeah.
And, you know, that is what this show is really about. And I'm so happy that I want to welcome you guys again. And I'm so happy because diversity, you know, the country is diverse. I want the show to be diverse because, you know, oftentimes, you know, you can look at things from a black perspective, or you can look at things from a white perspective, or you can look at things from whatever culture you're from. But when you get together and you're having a conversation on a weekly basis, you have a hump day conversation, a weekly conversation about different things and different issues that we all deal with, then we can get a better understanding, and then there can be some healing taking place. Because I think that is Beyonce's goal, was to provide a forum, or, you know, to use that forum to create these conversations that we're having. We took it and we used it, and we're having a conversation. And then those conversations begin to bring about understanding. Of course, in an hour, we can't really discuss everything, but maybe this show and maybe her, you know, her video and everything is creating really good conversations all over the country where people can kind of get an understanding and stand in remembrance of different things that have happened and, you know, begin to heal. Before the show ends, can Say Young, I always, at the end of every show, I'm going to have one person randomly, you know, in the show with some words of wisdom. So that's you, Say Young. What do you got to say?
Oh, my God. You're putting me on the spot. It's so unfair. It's my young girl show. You didn't even warn me. some words of wisdom. I don't know. Keep the faith and trust in the universe. Keep the faith, trust in the universe. Keep saying your truth. Don't be afraid to say your truth. I don't know. We shall overcome.
Be open-minded.
Right. Be open, period. Let's be open. Mm-hmm.
Open. So that is what we got. We are out of here. Peace out. We love you. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Until next time.
Peace out.
Our time is up. We'll be back next week. But if you've acquired an addiction,
You can't give in.
I love NYU.
spicy today. Oh my God. I just love you guys.
Okay, go ahead then. Follow NYC Today Live Talk Radio now.
Push it! Push it! You can do it! Push the blue button!
And follow us everywhere.